Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. Let's start with introducing you to a couple of more of the Latina people who have impacted our world today. Selena, 1971 to 1995. Singer, songwriter, actress, and fashion designer, born in Texas to parents of Mexican heritage. And this is by Joe Nick Potoski, journalist and author of the biography, Selena, Como la Flor. She was called the queen of Tejano music, the regional sound created by Mexican Americans in Texas. But Selena Quintanilla Perez would have turned 50 this year, was more than just a dynamic performer and businesswoman. Proud of her Native American features, she made herself a role model for millions of young girls. Selena's aspirations crashed in 1995 when she was shot and killed by the woman she then considered her best friend. Selena's posthumous English language album, Dreaming of You, has sold more than 3 million copies, and her legacy since her untimely passing has only grown. She opened the door for a generation of female entertainers of color. Selena, forever young, forever beautiful, forever ascendant. And then Anthony Quinn, 1915 to 2001. Academy Award-winning actor, born in Mexico, immigrated to the U.S. as an infant. And this tribute is by Edward James Olmos, Emmy Award-winning actor and Oscar nominee. Anthony Quinn could do everything. When he played Zorba in Zorba the Greek, people really thought he was Greek. He influenced a lot of us in the industry. His honesty and truth were key. You have to hit a level of truth, of being authentic, for characters to come to life. Yes, you need to know the technique of acting, but the way you use that technique has to come from deep inside. What many people don't know is that Anthony once put his career on the line to save some boys he didn't even know. In 1942, despite a lack of evidence, 21 Mexican-American teens were put on trial in Los Angeles for murder in the unexplained death of a teenage boy, and most of the defendants were convicted. Anthony worked really hard to bring awareness to the plight of these children. He was called a communist because of it. He risked his brand in a big way, but he was compelled to do it because of the injustice against the kids. And he helped to get those convictions overturned. And this was told to Elizabeth Liorenti. Next is Inez Mexia, 1870 to 1938. Pioneering botanist and land conservationist, born in the U.S. to a Mexican diplomat and his wife. This tribute is by Bill McKibben, an environmentalist and author of books, including The End of Nature. It is perhaps too clever by half to call a botanist a late bloomer, but Inez Mexia fits the label perfectly. After an early life best described as tempestuous, she moved around North America following her parents' divorce. She ended up in Northern California, where she started hiking into the mountains with the Sierra Club. At 51, she enrolled in college, studying botany, and in her mid-50s, she undertook her first real botanical expedition into Mexico as part of a Stanford team. But she was soon operating on her own and on a spectacular scale. She collected plants from Terra del Fuego to Alaska's Mount McKinley. She emerged from 1 2.5-year journey with 65,000 specimens. She fell off a cliff, broke bones, ate poison berries by mistake. But she survived, and altogether she collected almost 150,000 plants, 500 of which were new to science, and 50 of which bear her name. I decided that if I wanted to become better acquainted with the South American continent, she wrote in the Sierra Club Bulletin, the best way would be to make my way right across it. And finally, Oscar De La Renta, 1932 to 2014, pioneering fashion designer, born in the Dominican Republic, immigrated to the U.S. at the age of 30. And this was tribute is by Caroline Roem, fashion designer and one-time assistant to De La Renta, who became her mentor. Oscar was not only a Renaissance man and a couturier, but also the essence of a true gentleman. The modern, everyday woman captivated him. To dress her, he bucked trends and forged his own path, which was a marriage between old and new. He brought sophistication and class to American fashion, especially evening wear. His clients, who ranged from first ladies to actresses to notable women at the top of their fields, exuded elegance, femininity, and confidence. And he was the most fun boss you could ever have. The greatest lesson Oscar taught me when I was young and shy was to let it rip. He told me, be bold, be out there. And this interview was told to Elizabeth Liorente. Now let's go to Centennial Living's The Complete Guide to Heart Health for People Over 50. We're starting a new section now, The Heart Healthy Lifestyle. Diet, exercise, sleep, and other good habits can reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by 80%. And we're starting with what's your risk? Knowing your stats, cholesterol, BMI, blood pressure, and more, can help you identify your odds for developing heart disease so you can make changes to reduce them. And this part is by Janice Lee. Some of the following questions are used as part of risk calculators that doctors routinely consult when helping their patients figure out if they should be on medication or just make lifestyle changes. Tally the points for each answer and check your score at the end to see where you stand in terms of risk. As always, your doctor is the best person to speak with to determine your risk based on your personal and family history. And there are factors that can contribute to your risk that are not reflected in this quiz. Now, this quiz is somewhat lengthy, so I'm going to break it down into a couple of sessions. First off, how old are you? Now, the numbers, I will give you the numbers and the explanations. So, 0, under 40. A, that was A. B is 1 point, it's 40 to 59. C is 3 points, 60 to 79. D is number 4, and that's 80 or 4 points. That's 80 or older and genetically male. And for 5 points is E, 80 or older and genetically female. According to the American Heart Association, people under 40 have the lowest incidence of cardiovascular disease. In the 40 to 59 age range, 40% have CVD. In the 60 to 79 age range, 3/4 of people have it. And in those 80 and older, 86% of people have CVD. Women over 80 have a higher risk of having heart disease than men. Question number 2, what's your blood pressure? A, 0 points, 120 over 80. B, 2 points, 120 to 129 over 80. C, 3 points, 130 to 139 over 80 to 89. And D, 5 points, 140 or higher or 90 or higher. A primary risk factor for heart disease, high blood pressure, damages the heart over time and can make the vessel stiff, which also forces the heart to work harder. There will be more on hypertension later in this book. Number 3, what's your blood glucose level? It should be taken in a fasted state. A is 0 points, less than 99. B, 2 points, 120 to 125, indicating pre-diabetes. C is 5 points, 126 or higher, indicating diabetes. Besides damaging blood vessels, high blood sugars can lead to diabetes, which is a primary risk for cardiovascular disease. To see how well your blood sugars are managed over time, your doctor will order an HbA1c test, which should ideally be below 5.7%. Number 4, what's your total cholesterol level? A, no points, less than 200. B, 2 points, 200 to 239. And C, 3 points, 240 or higher. Cholesterol can build up in your arteries, forming plaques that can become unstable and set the groundwork for blockages. Number 5, what is your LDL level? A is 0 points, that's less than 100. B is 1 point, 100 to 129. C is 2 points, 130 to 159. And D is 4 points, 160 to 189. Bad LDL particles can take up residence in your arteries. Cutting your saturated fat intake can reduce your LDLs. Number 6, what's your HDL level? 0 points, number A, 60 or higher. B, 1 point, 40 to 60. C, 3 points, less than 40. Good HDL particles shuttle cholesterol out of the arteries and to the liver. 7, what is your triglyceride level? A, no points, less than 150. B, 1 point, 150 to 199. C, 3 points, 200 to 499, and D, 4 points, 500 and higher. Triglycerides store energy for use later. High triglycerides can contribute to atherosclerosis as well as other chronic conditions, including diabetes. Limiting sugar, refined carbs, and excess calories is one of many ways to reduce triglycerides. 8. What's the ratio of your total cholesterol to your HDL? A, 0 points, 4.5 or lower. B, 1 point, 4.6 to 6.0. C, 3 points above 6.0. Even with high total cholesterol, you can still have a healthy ratio of total cholesterol to HDLs. Still, if your total level is high, it's a sign to make changes to your diet and exercise habits. And finally for today, number 9, what is your BMI? Calculate it with this formula: weight in pounds over height in inches times 703. For example, a 5'5" 150-pound person's BMI is 25. If yours is A, 2 points, less than 18.5, that's for 2 points. B, no points, 18.5 to 25. C, 1 point, 25 to 29. And D, 3 points, 30 and above. Note, if you have a lot of muscle mass, the BMI calculation can be misleading. It's best used with other calculations such as waist circumference. Some research has shown that older adults have a higher risk of dying early if they're underweight, a BMI below 18.5. Ask your doctor where you should be. So there's another page of these guidelines, and we will cover that next time. Now, after that stressful information, let's go on to prevention, finding your calm and calm down a little bit. We're starting a new chapter here as well, meditation made easy. Starting a practice can be simple, and it doesn't have to involve chanting unless you want to. Learn how. There are 7 science-backed health benefits of meditation. Studies show it can boost your mood, curb your cravings, and help relieve pain. So first, find a quiet space. If you don't live alone, it might be challenging to find a solitary spot to meditate where you won't be interrupted. But don't despair. Just get creative. Try meditating in the bathroom, in your car, even a closet. Simply find a spot that works for you. If you've ever spent a few minutes meditating at the end of yoga class, you know that trying to slow down your thoughts is a bit trickier than it seems. Our minds are constantly moving, worrying about deadlines, evaluating our own performance or that of others, or dwelling on interactions from the past, explains Nina Smiley, PhD, Director of Mindfulness Programming at Mohonk Mountain House in New Paltz, New York. By practicing meditation, trains your mind to focus your awareness on the present, which can help you achieve that coveted Zen state. This calmness doesn't just feel good, it's actually good for your health, too. Even mainstream medicine is starting to acknowledge the ancient practice as research surrounding its benefits grows. I recommend all people, which includes all patients I have, learn which meditation techniques work for them and then practice them routinely, says Mike Roizen, MD, Chief of Wellness Officer Emeritus at the Cleveland Clinic and Chair of the Persona Nutrition Medical Advisory Board. That's because meditation does not carry the risk of any negative side effects, and it's free. But understanding how meditation works has proven challenging. It's only recently that we've started to see studies that are good, randomized, controlled trials that are larger in size, says Madhav Goyal, MD and MPH, an assistant professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine, who researches the effect of meditation on well-being. So why exactly should you bother with meditation? For one thing, the evidence we do have is very promising. Read on to learn about 7 benefits that meditating consistently can have on your body from the inside out, and get tips for starting a practice yourself. Number 1, meditation helps fight premature aging. Could meditation be a solid foundation of youth? We know that unmanaged stress is one of the greatest causes of aging. It increases your risk of heart disease, stroke, and cancer. In one 2016 study published in Translational Psychiatry, researchers recruited 102 women to spend 6 days at a retreat where they either just relaxed or did a meditation program. Compared to blood drawn before the women checked in, blood samples from the end of the retreat showed improvements in biomarkers related to aging in the newly minted meditators. While the exact reason for this isn't clear, we know from this and many other studies that meditation works through reducing the aging effects of stress. 2, it gives your brain a boost. There's also evidence that practicing mindfulness-based meditation on a consistent basis can make your brain significantly sharper. In fact, a 2013 study published in the journal Psychological Science concluded that 2 weeks of mindfulness training improved the GRE reading comprehension scores and working memory capacity of participants who were prone to distraction at pre-testing compared to a control group. They showed that mindfulness-based meditation would decrease mind wandering and improve cognitive performance, explained Mickey Brown, RN, Clinical Manager for Education, Mindfulness, and Patient Well-Being at Mount Sinai, Centers for Occupational Health in New York City. Brown was not involved in the study. It's not completely clear how this happens, but other research finds that practicing meditation regularly might actually make parts of your brain thicker. That includes the areas that are typically associated with attention and introspection. And of course, a bigger brain translates to more power. A second follow-up study also found that meditating for 40 minutes a day for just 2 months was enough to increase brain volume in areas related to stress, learning, memory, empathy, perspective, and compassion, theoretically making you better at certain cognitive tests. So the sidebar takeaway, studies have shown that meditation reduces the aging effect of stress and improves cognitive performance. Now, moving back to AARP, the magazine, let's look at some more of these trips that changed people's lives. This one is by Sanjay Gupta, and the place is Koh Samui, Thailand, Samui. For the medical correspondent, 51, an unplanned detour forced him to reflect on the fragility of life. One of my happiest moments of travel is also the most gut-wrenching. In December 1998, my wife and I went to Koh Samui, a little island off the eastern coast of Thailand. We stayed in a place on the beach called the Smile House, which was around $20 a night back then. It was such an indelible experience, but not just because of the banana pancakes we ate for breakfast. To get there, you either had to take an evening flight or an all-day 12-hour bus ride, followed by a 2-hour ferry ride. We waited in line at the airport, but couldn't get a ticket, so we ended up on the bus. It happened to be my wife's birthday, and I kept thinking, boy, I really blew this one. The air conditioning on the bus was so freezing cold that our arms and legs cramped up. We practically couldn't move. Then we arrived in Surat Thani, the mainland city. To make the ferry, it was nighttime and the horizon was lit up with sirens and rescue lights. We didn't know at first what had happened, but it turned out that the plane we had wanted to take had crashed. It was terrible. Over 100 people had died. It was one of those moments when we didn't know what to say to each other. Nothing makes you feel more alive than having been shot at and missed. And that's how we felt. As you get older, you appreciate how fragile your existence is. You can spend all day kicking yourself for something, like not getting those plane tickets, but fate can flip on a dime. I'm not generally like this, but I do think certain things happen for a reason. That day, if I had gotten what I wanted, or what I thought I wanted, we wouldn't have survived. Instead, it was this unforgettable moment that's stayed with me all these years. Eating those pancakes, looking out to sea, thinking how lucky we are. How lucky we are. And on his to-go list, Las Catalinas in the Guanacaste province of Costa Rica. It is a new non-resort beach town designed using principles of new urbanism to create community and immersion in nature. It's car-free and walkable, with plazas and hiking trails, all to make you feel like you're part of a community, even if you're just visiting. Now let's look at George Takei of Edinburgh, Scotland. The actor, activist, 84 years old, recalls that a visit to Edinburgh made him a convert to all things Scots. 30 years ago, I was invited to do a play at the legendary Edinburgh Festival in Scotland. The play was wonderful, but the city itself was the real draw because you can explore it on foot, and I'm a runner. Few cities are as spectacular for jogging as Edinburgh. Every morning we went out for a run. To the south of the city, there's a hill called Arthur's Seat, which is said to relate to the legend of King Arthur. You can run up it and have a great view of all Edinburgh, including Holyrood Palace. It offers the finest views of that medieval town with its cobblestone streets, and I've since returned many times with my husband Brad, who I met through jogging. So we can run there together, or walk, now that we're a little bit older. On his to-do list, We didn't leave Los Angeles during COVID, but we have a wonderful cabin up in the White Mountains of Arizona, in the heart of a magnificent ponderosa pine forest. After nearly 2 years away, I couldn't wait to get back there. And finally for today, Sherry Belafonte, Gullfoss, Iceland. The actress, 67, found an unlikely paradise tracing her dad's steps in Iceland. My best friend Ellen and I have gone all over the world, Italy, South Africa, Belize, but the best was Iceland. My dad, Harry Belafonte, had gone there on a UNICEF mission, but all I knew was that Iceland is green and Greenland has ice. We wanted to get off the beaten path, which isn't hard to do there. Drive out of Reykjavik, and it's all waterfalls and Viking ruins and tiny fishing villages. We were there in the dead of summer, which gives you endless time to explore because it never gets dark. The hotels have blackout shades, but who needs sleep when there's so many wonders to see? Ellen and I ran around 24/7 looking at bubbling volcanic holes, thermal springs, though watch out for the flies, and these gorgeous Icelandic horses with long manes. It was so much more amazing than I had expected. On her to-go list is hiking in New Zealand. It's a dream of mine, but the flight is a real schlep. I'm sure my husband won't want to go. Hey, Ellen, want to go to New Zealand? Now we have time for a couple more celebrity birthday information and then a few more comments from my friend in Canada. Let's look at Chubby Checker. His birthday was October 3rd. Singer and his fans celebrated the 60th anniversary of The Twist last year. He's 80. And Paul Simon, whose birthday was October 13th, star has sold the rights to his entire songwriting catalog to Sony for a reported $250 million, and he is 80. Now let's see some more words of wisdom. Shout out to anyone who can still remember your childhood phone number, but can't remember the password they created yesterday. You are my people. Lying about my age is easier now that I have trouble remembering what it is. I don't know how to use TikTok, but I can write in cursive, do long division, and tell time on clocks with hands. So, there's that. Is it really necessary for the first square of toilet paper to be glued down? Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.